A very good morning to all of you out there. Now, with today being Mother's Day, I thought it would be good if I spoke about mothers, and especially the love of a mother. But first of all, I want to point out how we got to Mother's Day, and I hope it will encourage mothers never to stop praying for their children. We'll be referring to quite a few readings this morning, so please be patient with me. But with the situation as it is today, we find many of us are not able to celebrate Mother's Day as we used to. But that does not mean, of course, that we must not contact our mother. If we can, if we are able to, we should contact our mother, especially today where we are isolated. We should let them know that we truly love and miss them. Well, where does Mother's Day come from? Well, there are two stories. There's one story about England or Britain, and there's one story about America. And both of these versions are important. So let's have a look at the British one first of all. According to history, England celebrated a day called Mothering Sunday. It was celebrated on the fourth Sunday of Lent. That's the 40-day period that leads up to Easter. Now, Mothering Sunday was to honor mothers of England. And during this time in England, people were very poor and they worked far away from their homes. The servants that lived or worked far away from their homes lived in the houses of their employers. But on Mothering Sunday, the servants would have the day off and they were encouraged to return home to their mother and spend the day with their mothers. A special cake called the Mothering Cake was often brought along to provide a festive touch. And as Christianity spread throughout Europe and the celebration changed to honor the Mother Church, the spiritual power that gave them life and protected them from harm, over time the church festival blended in with the Mothering Sunday. People began honoring their mothers as well as the church. But then, of course, in the United States it was a little bit different. In the United States, Mother's Day was first suggested in 1872 by a lady called Julia Ward Howe. She's a woman that wrote the words to the Battle Hymn of the Republic. As a day, she wanted to celebrate it as a day dedicated to peace. Miss Howe would hold an organized Mother's Day meeting in Boston every year. In 1907, Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia began a campaign to establish a national Mother's Day. Mrs. Jarvis persuaded her mother's church in Grafton, West Virginia, to celebrate Mother's Day on the second anniversary of her mother's death. That was the second Sunday of May. By the next year, Mother's Day was also celebrated in Philadelphia. Miss Jarvis and her supporters began to write to ministers, businessmen, and politicians in their quest to establish a national Mother's Day. It was successful, as by 1911, Mother's Day was celebrated in almost every state. President Woodrow Wilson in 1914 made the official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday that was to be held each year on the second Sunday of May. Now that's where we get Mother's Day from. We as people in Australia and people in South Africa and in various other parts of the world, we celebrate Mother's Day on every second Sunday of the year in May. I sometimes get forgetful and I leave out the May part. It would be lovely if we celebrated every second Sunday of the year as a Mother's Day. But at the moment, it is the second Sunday in May. Now, our message for today is a little bit different. You might find it a bit strange for me talking this way. But the reading that we are going to use as our text is Genesis 27 verses 1 to 13. Now, I'll not be reading this, but I will be putting it up on the screen. If you are watching the video, you'll be able to read it yourself on the video. If not, you can always pause the audio message and read it for yourself. But it's the story of Jacob and Esau. Now, we all know the story of Jacob and Esau. We know how Jacob took the place of Esau and so received the blessing that was meant for the elder Esau. But many people do not remember that it was actually Jacob's mother that told Jacob what to do. You see, the love of a mother is so great that she will not let her young one be deceived. Now you may think that Jacob's mother was deceitful. But if you read through the story of Jacob and Esau, you will see that the mother only ensured that what was agreed was carried out. Remember when Esau came back from hunting, he promised Jacob his birthright. If only Jacob would give him some of the stew he was making. And of course, as we know, Jacob gave Esau some of his stew. So therefore, he was entitled to Esau's birthright. So when Jacob's mother realizes that Isaac is going to bestow the blessing on Esau, the eldest, she steps in and she makes a plan for Jacob to receive what is rightfully his. What we need to remember or realize is that mothers are a completely different breed of people. One of the greatest injustices of the 21st century is the deception that has crept in unawares, and that is to make women equal with men. We need to realize that women are far greater than men. A woman can do far more than what a man can. However, it's just the roles of the man and the woman that are different. The man was created as a hunter, as a fighter, and the woman was created as a carer. Now today I'm going to show how from the Bible just how caring a woman is, especially a mother. There is a story that many of us know, and we often use it to show how wise King Solomon was. Now this story, you can find it in 1 Kings 3 verse 16 to 27. Now I'm not going to read this message either, or these verses, but I'm going to give you a little bit of the story so that you can go through the verses in your own time. And as I said, most people use these verses to show just how wise King Solomon was. But I want us to have a look at the story in relation to how the woman acted. The story goes that two women were harlots, both fell pregnant, and they both gave birth. After 3 days, they gave birth on the same day, of course, but after 3 days, one of the children dies, and the mother goes and swaps her dead child for the live child. So they go to Solomon to sort out this problem. And as you know, he says, "Bring me a sword, and I will cut the child in two, and you can each have a half." Of course, the real mother says, no, rather let the other woman keep the child. And Solomon says, "No, you can have the child, because you are obviously the true mother." So this showed Solomon's wisdom. But I see something more in the story. I see what a mother is prepared to do for her child. Once a woman becomes a mother, her whole outlook on life changes. We see from this story that the mother will do anything for her newborn baby, even if it means giving it away. The thing that I want to point out to you is that these two mothers were prepared to give up their employment to have their babies. But more than this, we see that the one mother was prepared to steal her friend's baby. That is how strong motherhood is. While her friend is sleeping, she creeps in and she swaps the dead baby for the live one. This would have meant that they could not practice their trade. She was so prepared to give up her trade and everything that she did, her whole living, just for the baby. But then when the other mother realizes that her baby has been changed, she could have quite easily said, "Oh well, she's gone now, I can go back to my trade again." But no, she fights to have her baby back. And of course, this is where wise old Solomon comes in with the solution. And she gets her baby back. So we see a mother will do anything for her child, for her baby. But we also see then that a mother loves and cares for her school-going age children. In Luke chapter 2, verse 40 to 52, we see the account of Jesus, where he speaks to the doctors and the leaders in the temple. But let's have a look at what happens with his mother. His mother that discovers that he's gone. His father doesn't discover that he's gone. His mother discovers that he's gone. And she turns back and searches for him for 3 days. And when they find him, his mother says, "You have caused us much sorrow." And he says, "I must be about my father's business." And the Bible says that Mary, his mother, kept these things in her heart. Now, how many things don't mothers keep in their heart about their children? Those little mistakes that we make as children, those little things that we do wrong as children, the mother always keeps those stories in her heart. She doesn't go and spread them out. She keeps them in her heart. But then we also see that as the child grows up and becomes a young man or a young woman and goes off and does their own thing, the mother still shows concern and love for that child. The Bible also shows us this in Judges 5 verse 28. And it says there that the mother of Sisera looked out of at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot?" Now, who was Sisera? And why was his mother sitting at the window? Well, Sisera was an Israel. He took 900 chariots and he went to attack Israel. But God discomfited Sisera and allowed the Israelis to overcome his army. And as Sisera flees, he passes the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber. And she says, "Come in here and hide, and I will protect you." And when he thinks he is safe, she takes a tent peg and hammers it through his temples. And his mother is sitting at the window waiting for him to come home. He went off to do mischief, but she still sits and waits and waits and waits for him to come home. But then finally we see that the mother still cares and loves a child, even when they've come to the end of their life. If you turn over to John 19 verse 16 to 28, and we'll finish off with this. We see there that Jesus is on the cross, and there's a sign over the top of him that says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And at the bottom of the cross is standing his mother. Now, the thing that I know when I see this verse is that it reminds me of how great a mother's love is. Do you remember when Jesus was speaking to the multitude and his mother and his brethren came and wanted to see him? And when his disciples came and told him that his mother wanted to see him, what did he say? "Who is my mother? Or who are my brethren?" Now, that must have really hurt his mother. And many a mother today would never forgive their child if they said this about them. But Jesus' mother forgave him, and she stands here at the foot of the cross weeping for her son. So in closing, what kind of mothers are we today? Are we the mothers who care for our children like those mothers in the Bible? Or are we the mothers that are like the world's mothers? They count their own wants above those of their children. We are prepared to have children, but we want to be paid for it. Then we go and we give our children to childcare centers to raise them, and they become teenagers, and they become rebellious, and we wonder why. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some circumstances where the children have to go to childcare, where parents cannot afford to keep them at home, where mother and father has to work, where the mother is a single mother, has to work. We understand it. But the thing we need to come to terms with is that we need to spend more time with our children. Mothers have the responsibility, up to the age of 12, according to the Bible, to look after their children. Once they are 12, the father takes over and teaches them the trades. Is that what we do today? Or do we put them in the corner with a little device and say, "Yeah, you are, have a good time"? What are we doing with our children? Are we spending the time that we should Now, I must say, I am not accusing anybody. Like I always say, if I point a finger at somebody else, there's always three fingers pointing back at me. But what I do want to say is, we need to start thinking about what we do as mothers. And if our children should go off the rails and they get up to mischief when they grow up and end up in jail or something like that, do we say it serves them right? Or do we still continue to pray for them? We wonder why our youth and our society is in the state that it is. Is it not because of the lack of care for them? There's a story told of an elderly mother who every night kneeled down at the side of her bed and prayed for her son. And each night the son would walk past and hear his mother pray for him. And he would snicker to himself and say, "What do I want to be like that for?" But there came a day in the man's life when things were going bad, when the world was against him. He'd done some terrible things. And the first thing that came to mind was his mother kneeling at the bed, praying for him. This man, right there, got down on his knees and said, "My mother cares for me. I need to care for my mother. Lord, I give my life over to you." So therefore, let us this Mother's Day remember our mothers. But mothers, let us also remember that it is only if we pray for our children that they grow up in the way that we want them to grow up. I trust that you will have a lovely day today, sharing the love that only a mother can show.